talk about
capabilities, building all your hopes and dreams.
Talk about
possibilities.
It ain't rocket surgery,
but maybe it is.
Come on down, we're gonna sit around and
get into your business. Get into your business.
Business. Welcome to the Small Business Miracles Podcast. I'm Jeff Randolph. This Small Business Podcast is brought to you by EAG Advertising and Marketing. We're going to talk about marketing, and we're also here to celebrate entrepreneurs. We have marketing news and advice that business owners can use to keep moving forward. This week, we're talking with Alex Beltrame with Fit Muscle and Joint Clinic. But first, we've got another small business marketing tip to talk about.
Business.
On today's marketing tip, how do you judge those special opportunities that come your way? You're a business owner, you get it. People approach you with special ad opportunities all the time. And I won't say that there aren't great opportunities that come your way, so we can't dismiss them all, even if we are pressed for time. There may be some remnant billboard space that would be really valuable at a discount, or a roundup of companies in your industry being featured in an industry publication, and if you weren't there, you would be noticeably absent. So we can't just dismiss all of these things out of hand and say we don't have time for it. So first, a word about budget. A great thing to do is to plan on 10% of whatever you've allocated to marketing as an opportunity budget, you know, in case something exactly like this comes up. Then you have the power to say yes to the right things, and you don't have to automatically say no to everything because your budget is already committed for the year. So how do you judge? One of the ways we like to give those a quick check is by saying, if I found the same amount of budget money in my marketing budget, is this the way I would want to spend it? A simple question to ask yourself to help determine if this is a really special opportunity to take advantage of, or if it's something that you should consider for next year. And that's okay if you consider it for next year. But that special opportunity, if you would do it if you found exactly this much money in your marketing budget, that's probably something you should say yes to. And that's our marketing tip for today.
Business.
Welcome back to the feature section of the show. I'm here with Alex Beltrame. He's the clinic director for the Crossroads for Fit Muscle and Joint Clinic. Alex, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me.
I appreciate you being here. This is one of our own, one of your clients, Heather Silliman, is actually our account team person, who she's the VP. And man, thanks so much for being here. Thank you, because not too long ago, she invited you guys down, and there was a whole event happening where you helped interview some people in our office and help them feel better about all kinds of things. So thanks for being here. Why don't you tell me just about the business? Talk about, you know, what you do here.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, shout out to Heather for bringing us out for today and getting this set up, as well as we did a lunch and learn, which was great. It was really receptive, kind of talking about, you know, micro breaks in the workspace, which especially for, you know, here at EAG, those are always really important to stay out of pain.
Quite, yes.
So, yeah, like Jeff said, my name's Alex. I'm the clinic director for our Crossroads location, which is actually just one of 11 in the Kansas City metro. So Fit Muscle and Joint Clinic is a chiropractic and physical therapy group in the metro. We've got 11 locations spanning as far north as Liberty and as far south as Paola. So, you know, what we do and kind of what makes us different is we blend the approach of chiropractic care with physical therapy. Mm-hmm. We do have some occupational therapists as well. So a lot of you listeners out there have probably seen one or the other, maybe both, but the blend of the treatment approach is kind of what we found yields the best results in the short term, as well as when we're talking about longevity. It's so that you know how to help yourself. So FIT actually stands for Functional Integrative Triage, which is a big old word vomit for we work together, we collaborate, right? Mm-hmm. So that's kind of our approach. We do a lot of corrective exercises. We have a really high emphasis on manual therapies or soft tissue work, muscle work.
Okay.
And then blending those two together are kind of what helps us, you know, if you have neck pain, Jeff, well, mm-hmm. we we get you out of pain for the most part at the beginning, and then after that, it's okay. Well, we educate and empower you on what you can do to kind of help yourself in the meantime, so that way it's not a hey Jeff, see you next week, see you next month,
an ongoing forever kind of experience.
Correct. Yeah. So you know, we treat everybody with integrity, and you know, it's a really fun atmosphere. Crossroads is a smaller space, right? As most of you could gather, but like last night was a great example. It got to be 6 p.m. We had about 4 people left for the day, and you know, we turned the music real loud and just made it a kind of a fun gym environment type of thing. And, you know, I tend to be pretty energetic, so that's always fun. I get the leisure to do that. So,
you get to be energetic. That's amazing. you also do techniques that other places don't do. And if you are familiar with kind of the traditional chiropractor approach, this is there. It goes beyond that. Talk about a couple of the other kind of things that you do. Dry needling was one.
Yeah. So as far as like the services that we provide and how we get people to feel better than they did before is kind of a combination. So one thing I always love to point out is that's completely individualized. So, you know, the techniques that we utilize, dry needling, as you mentioned, which to kind of elaborate on that, that's similar to acupuncture, but a little bit different. Mm-hmm. So dry needling is where we take an acupuncture needle, thin, like a filament size, and we insert it into the muscle, kind of like trigger point therapy.
Okay.
So the whole goal of that is to rejuvenate blood flow to the area that, you know, I'm a larger person and I can apply a lot of pressure for soft tissue release, but dry needling is a really concise and accurate way for us to get blood flow in that specific spot. So
literally pinpoint.
Pinpoint.
You're literally pinpoint.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. So my kind of running joke about dry needling is that it's not so pleasant, right? Like it is a needle, which some people are, you know, verdicts out on that one. But overall, it is really profound in the results because, you know, you might be sore for a day or two, but after that, it's kind of like, oh, wow, I can really move. I have so much more range of motion.
Wow.
And that's a great segue because, you know, we do a lot of corrective exercises. One that is quite the acronym is what's called DNS. It stands for Dynamic Neuromuscular Stabilization. And to kind of summarize that long term there, it's developmental kinesiology.
Okay.
So, you know, as we grow and develop as individuals, we're taught and innately know how to move in the most efficient ways possible.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, as we come to work, as we, you know, sit down for a long time, as we exercise aggressively, we kind of get out of that norm and we don't know how to move. So we'll actually put you in specific positions, which may seem awkward at the time. Like they are essentially, what can a baby do?
Mm-hmm.
But it's really specific in what muscle group it targets because we're trying to get you to move efficiently and effectively in one specific area, not just, for example, like to engage your lower body, right? Well, a squat's a great way to do that, but the DNS maneuvers that we can do for that is really targeted to, okay, let's talk about your quad, let's work your calf, the bottom of your foot, etc. So, you know, like Jeff said, you know, it's not necessarily that we do things that other people don't. It's that you probably won't find the combination of our entire approach in one specific location.
Yeah.
So, and that could be, you know, described as like we work alongside with physical therapists because I'm a chiropractor. So that collaborative effort is really good that, you know, we bounce ideas off each other a lot. And a lot of times just getting another set of eyes like, hey, you know, Ryan and Kenzie both work at the Crossroads location is hey guys, I need some help. Like I was going here, it didn't work. Any ideas? Like how can we collaborate on this? And I would say a lot of times it's like you just need to get out of your own head and kind of zoom out.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's really beneficial because they each of us have a, you know, a different approach for A, why we got into this type of field, or B, just like their own personal experiences. So that's always good to get kind of a broader approach. So dry needling is one thing we do. We do something that's called, the technical term for it is IASTM. It stands for instrument assisted soft tissue mobilization.
Nope.
In, you know, layman's terms, Graston or scraping is another way we can talk about that. So that's where we take a piece of medical grade steel and we kind of rub it along the muscle to improve blood flow.
Oh gosh.
As well as like the understanding, which is called proprioception, of where your body is in space. So the way that I like to utilize that is not just solely scraping the tissue, but you can actually combine that with movement as a person goes through the range of motion that you're trying to achieve. It just gives more information to the body to try to process that of, oh, wait, that's where my shoulder should be, just more stimulus to a degree. So dry needling, scraping, we do like the KT tape. That's a little bit more seldom than other things. We do cupping every so again, you know, often, but like the corrective exercise and stuff that we use, like our space, if you walked in, you would think it is a gym, especially with me screaming around and playing the music loud. So yeah, our approach is really integrated, and truly that's like my favorite part of the job is I have so many, we as providers at Fit have so many tools in our toolbox to, you know, kind of address, oh, well, dry needling might be good. Maybe it's just exercise, all that type of stuff. So
yeah, man, if only the human body came with an owner's manual, we may not need all of this.
Yeah,
expertise.
No kidding.
But thanks goodness there's that expertise there. Tell me about your, like, in marketing we would talk about a target audience. Talk about your ideal patient for a moment. And who you're targeting as a customer. Is it, you know, everybody who wants to carry their groceries up the stairs, or is it somebody who's training for a specific event? Like you work with elite level athletes to, you know, people who are definitely not elite level athletes. Who are you targeting? That's a huge range. What's the ideal client?
Yeah. So ideal is completely subjective based on the provider, right? Mm-hmm. So, you know, we're going to talk here in a minute about kind of a golf specialty that we do at some of the clinics.
Yeah, I definitely am going to ask about that golf specialty for sure.
But with that, like, you know, that might be someone who's kind of has that niche, right? Like that's their demographic that they like to work with. So to answer the question, ideal is whoever is motivated to get better, right? Like it doesn't need to be an elite level athlete who's preparing for the Olympics, and it doesn't, to downplay, like it's not just Gloria who's trying to play with her kids or grandkids or whatever. So, however, if I were to break that down a little bit, historically, Fit's been around for, you know, almost 13 years at this point, we have tended to work with people that are more of like the weekend warrior active population. And truly, I would say that's because all the stuff we just mentioned has the capacity to go into super in-depth, like elevated function, right? So if you take somebody who, one, is not motivated to do that, or two, can't physically do that, well, that doesn't really serve a greater purpose for them. So we want to make sure that the people that we're working with, one, really want to get better. So, you know, a lot of times with those weekend warriors, as we call them, or just people that are active in the daily life, a lot of that stuff we can start to integrate and get them to elevate whatever performance they want. And you know, as far as like that goes, it just like we do an hour evaluation the first time. And what makes Fit a little bit different than other places in the healthcare space, especially on the conservative side, is we're always one-on-one, you know, especially right now, like Kenzie is a newer provider at our location. Well, in some cases we have two providers to one patient. So that's like four eyes on one person.
Yeah, that is not the kind of balance you get at a lot of places.
Yeah, exactly. So when it comes to that, like we really take time to understand like, hey, Jeff, what do you want? And then from there we can go into that. Cause at the end of the day, like, my goal, every provider's goal at Fit is to get you function, like our tagline, if you will, is better than before, right? Oh, so, yeah. And the beauty of that is it's exceptionally vague on purpose, right?
Yeah. No, it covers a lot of ground.
Yeah. So better than before in a general sense would be like, hey, I can go up the stairs to just get to my apartment or my house without knee pain. But better than before could also be a youth athlete who's trying to play baseball in college, that type of thing too. Mm-hmm. So, but yeah, at the end of the day, like, you know, we meet people where they're at, you know, and when it comes to that stuff is what I want for you isn't, it might not be what you want. And that's the beauty of us taking a lot of time to understand, you know, what your goals are and all that stuff. Cause we can take that path wherever we need to. And that's also the best thing apart my job is like, it's different every single time that a person comes in, right? Yeah, like you have these, I'm not going to say cookie cutter things, but like certain things, let's use a shoulder or rotator cuff injury, for example.
Sure.
There's a lot of things that work really well for that type of thing, but that doesn't mean that that's going to work for everybody. So that's kind of that gray area, clinical judgment of, well, Jeff needs this and he responded this way. And I love navigating that path for people because it truly looks different for everybody, no matter how much, you know, in some days I want it to be very clear cut because I've got a type A personality, but a lot of that stuff is like, we have the autonomy to get creative where we need to. And that's the beauty of our approach.
That's good stuff. So on a first meeting, first time somebody walks in, is it a lot of listening then and finding out, you know, you are here and you want to go here and probing and asking questions about, you know, let's find out how you got here. You're solving mysteries too.
Yeah. So, I would say this conversation piece right now could probably take us 6 hours to talk about.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Because, you know, Fit's been around for 12, almost 13 years. We have so much expertise. I mean, we've probably got I'm just going to shoot off the cuff, maybe over 100 years of experience in the field. So how we have cultivated and trained a lot of our, you know, staff members or providers is to integrate all that stuff. So, you know, what's a first visit look like? Like I mentioned, it's always one-on-one. We got you for a minimum of 60 minutes. If you're working with me, I apologize in advance. We're definitely going to go over time because I can't shut up.
Sure.
But you know, a lot of that is kind of like to give the framework for the evaluation is, yeah, it's a lot of listening. I'd say I personally, if I were to give it a time, probably 25 minutes of that 60-minute session is just talking, right? Like, you know, where's it hurt? What do you do on a daily basis? What type of exercise do you do? And then a lot of that, like knowing what you do is a very quick parlay into, well, what do you want to do? Because, you know, you might be doing 60% of what you want to do already, but that helps us as providers guide, like, well, perfect. We only need to improve 40%. We're not trying to completely revamp. But I say this conversation could be a longer one because at the end of the day, in conservative healthcare, maybe just in healthcare in general, there's a term called biopsychosocial. So essentially that means a person is a person and their musculoskeletal condition may not just be truly musculoskeletal. So a lot of that is like the biopsychosocial approach is, you know, kind of taking serve with the healthcare community because I'd say go back 10 years, it was just more of like, well, Jeff has knee pain, boom, that's this.
Right,
you know, it's more of like, well, what we didn't talk about is the fact that Jeff has three kids and he can't kneel down to play with his kids. Well, that is innately going to impact how you receive or approach therapy. So a lot of that stuff is, that's why an hour truly, like, one, because I can't stop talking, but two is like 60 minutes to really understand your 6 years of knee pain is really hard to do because, you know, we'll get on a tangent and a lot of that stuff is like, we don't just want to blow by the fact that you fell off your bicycle when you were 10 and the knee never felt the same. Not saying that was the issue, but like, that's really important to understand as a provider because we can take that and be like, you know, hey, this is, and a lot of times, you know, I think not to kind of dog on the typical medical community, but a lot of that time is like, you're not getting those questions answered in 5 minutes.
No, 100%. I was just thinking as you're talking, I had a dentist appointment yesterday and I learned something from my hygienist. Like,
yes.
I love learning from, like, especially about me. Because it's a great topic. Me is a great topic.
I agree.
For me, you know, nobody else cares, but I care a lot. And having somebody who listens and takes time, that's a competitive differentiator in the market. And the more we talk about it, the more, you know, that just someone who is looking for that level of specificity and that level of care and understanding will benefit from that. Whereas, you know, if you're just kind of churning it, there are people who want that too. And you just, customers can self-select and get where they need to go, but put that brand differentiator out there. And, you know, everything you're saying is spectacular.
Yeah.
Let me move us on to, you tease golf just a little bit and we have to talk about that because, you are certified in TPI and that's, I looked that up. That's the Titleist Performance Institute. 25 of the top 30 players in the world are advised by a TPI certified expert. Tell me about the certification and kind of what that means for a client's golf game.
Yeah. So, TPI as it exists has multiple different tracks. So you have like a medical provider, which would be myself and others within FIT. There's like a fitness track, there's a coaching track. So I love to make that delineation because I'm not your swing coach. And there's a big difference there because I can't even figure out my own golf game. I had to go to a professional to figure that out, right?
Sure.
So as far as within kind of that medical track, what we do and how we integrate TPI is it is a assessment that's specific to what your body needs to be capable of in and through the golf swing. So how the evaluation goes is it's a set of 16 exercises. They're gauged kind of on a stoplight perspective. So green means no issues, no pain. Yellow means there was a limitation in the movement, but not necessarily pain is present. And then red would be like, can't do the exercise and it hurts. So as far as how that operates, we take that data. There is also a kind of swing analysis there. So, you know, a swing coach might look at you on video and say, hey, I need you to rotate here or not rotate there. Mm-hmm. Well, from the medical perspective, it's can you rotate or can't you rotate? So it's more of like, you know, what are called biomechanics, how the body moves. It's integrating that into a specific manner. So no different than in our typical, you know, day in, day out evaluation, TPI is just ultra specific to what motions can you do for golf or can't you do for golf. And quite frankly, like, I've taken that certification information, because there's three levels. I have my level one right now, working on my level two. Mm-hmm. And I've integrated that into like my daily practice, and it's actually seen better outcomes because that framework of what to assess, golf is very specific in what you need to be able to do, but also like it's a very synonymous motion to baseball.
Sure.
So, you know, it's a lot of rotation based things. So really, if you break it down to athletic activity, you can assess a golf swing, but you can still use that information for other things. So, as far as what that certification looks like is, it's an online course for level one. It used to be in person, and then, you know, 2020 happened. But it's understanding how to assess the body. And then from there, it's giving you like specific avenues to pursue of, you know, if this, then that type of thing. And I mean, I did that after I had already completed my, you know, doctorate level program. So it just kind of elevated my experience. And some of those exercises or rehab motions were really beneficial, because you can actually kind of, you know, not to swear on the podcast here, but like, you can bastardize those exercises to get better results for something different. So, you know, I've mentioned creativity a lot. You can blend a lot of that stuff. And the beauty is, like, the body's capable of a whole lot. So it doesn't need to be super clear cut all the time. You know, clinical practice is as gray as it gets, as it is in other professions. But when it comes to that, you can integrate that into somebody's care in different ways. So, yeah, like you mentioned, 25 out of the top 30 professionals get some TPI advisement. I would say for a lot of those 25 people, it's, you know, one of every track, right? Like, they have a medical professional, an instructor, a fitness, all that stuff. But kind of on that note, you can take that information and parlay that into what's called 3D motion capture. So no different than, like, you know, I always think of like the movies, right, where they put the green suit on and all the dots around.
Yeah.
We have something, it's located at our Overland Park location, but I've gone down there to work on people. It's 3D motion capture through K-motion. So we've got, you know, it's like a hip belt, a chest belt, all this other stuff. And then you'll actually go through kind of an additional assessment to see, well, it gives so much data, like, you can read at nauseam, but a lot of that stuff, we can take that into, say, like, hey, you know, Jeff, you have a shoulder issue, and that's backed up by the assessment as well as our 3D motion capture. And then you can integrate that 3D motion capture into, you know, when you come in for your next visit, you're going to get strapped up and you're going to do exercises with this on, you know, you bring in your golf shoes, your golf club, all that stuff. So it's really specific into that. And, you know, anybody out there that's looking to advance their golf game, this is a great place to start in terms of understanding, you know, swing lessons and all that stuff are great, but if you can't physically complete those things, you're going to be, you know, guided through a swing that isn't maybe necessarily the most efficient. So we take like the very specific body lens, not the, you know, your club face was closed that type of thing, which happens to be my problem, but nonetheless.
Well, even on that note, the golf simulators that you can go to now where you're seeing all of the data come in, like, data nerd brain like me, I stare at that and my game improved like just by looking at those numbers. I can't even imagine what would happen if, you know, you put me in the green suit with all the white dots on it. That would that would be amazing. I could
We need to get a green suit.
It on. Just really do. It's not necessary. You only need these belts. But for us, could you please put this green suit
on?
Alex, you ready to go into the lightning round?
Let's do it.
Let's continue on, because you don't know what I'm any kind of topic that I might ask about, but I'm definitely going to stay on this golf game, because you mentioned your game is not – you're not a swing person. That's not your specialty area.
Yep.
As you work with these athletes and golfers, and you're trying to improve their game, how does that make you feel deep down when you're improving their game daily and your game may not be getting better? What does that do to you?
Well, I can tell you, first and foremost, like, we live in the Midwest, so especially as we get into winter, like, if I'm working with somebody on golf, I'm like, man, if only I could have a tee time right now. So
I know.
It's awesome. I love it. Like, I'm similar to you, it sounds, where, like, the data and kind of, like, I would say I'm a clinical nerd, so a lot of that stuff is... I've mentioned I can't stop talking, but a lot of that is like, I'll go down this deep rabbit hole. I'm like, oh, it could be that, or how about this, and let's try that. So I love it. It's invigorating. Like, it really brings a lot of passion, and especially with that, is it's helped, but no different than maybe knowing too much information that I've kind of taken some of that stuff and tried to integrate that into my own golf game, which has improved, right? Like I would say I'm average of performance, but a lot of that is like, man, I need to go home and practice,
It's so. Being able to get out and do these things all the time.
Yeah.
Do you have a favorite course you play? Or like you mentioned getting a tee time. Is there a go-to, like, here's where I love to play?
So my wife and I live in Liberty, near, because there's Shoal Creek up there in Hodge Park. Those are easy. Like, I would play there most often just out of convenience. But a course that I really love, I just got to make the time for it, is down in Leawood, Iron Horse.
Oh, Iron Horse. Yeah, I've been there once or twice.
Pristine, man. It's a beautiful course. And, you know, if my friend Mike is listening, it's okay. You'll play better next time. We've played there like 3 or 4 times together. And that guy just, it's like he's never played golf when we play there, especially with just us two. So that's always a good confidence boost, right? Just bring somebody that's not as good as you.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. There's so many great golf stories out there. Do you have a favorite pro that you follow as a...
I would say, like, growing up as a kid, I was always a big fan of Rory.
Yeah. Rory McIlroy, for those listening at home.
Correct. Yeah, it's kind of hard not to be a fan of his. But I'd say Justin Thomas is who I consistently root for. He's kind of an underdog to some degree, and just, like, the way that he plays is, I like watching him play. But if you go to the opposite end of the spectrum, who's maybe a little bit more vibrant, like Bryson DeChambeau.
Oh, sure.
That guy is involved in so many different things right now. Like, he's kind of taken the golf world by storm, but it's interesting. Yeah. He's an interesting and unique character.
He is unique. He's not always loved, but he is unique.
Yeah, for sure.
That's right. Let's see. I know music is important, and you have music going all the time. You have plenty of playlists for music when you're working with clients. If I ask you to throw out a playlist that would go well with this podcast, what would that playlist look like?
Dang, that's a tough question. I would say as we get into the winter, right, like I'm trying to set you up for success here, something fairly high energy, like that's kind of how I like to operate.
Yep.
So there's a playlist on Spotify, whatever platform you're using. It's called Mood Booster. It's got a lot of hip hop. It's got a lot of R&B type stuff. There might be even a couple country songs on there, but that's always one that's a go-to of like, how can I get, you know, energetic today? And that's usually turned, you know, close to all the way up. But that's a good one. Mood booster.
Outstanding. Yeah. Your bio talks about having a board game hobby. Are we talking about lots of different games, or do you have like a game that you are focused on and you're going to be the best at whatever?
I would say if it's between me and my wife, we're going Uno.
Uno, okay. Big Uno rivalry.
Big Uno rivalry, yeah. I think she's up in the series right now. We played a couple weeks ago, but Yahtzee is probably the second one. If we've got a little
classics.
We purchased Bananagrams. We didn't realize how like much space you need for a game like that, because our coffee table is not like the largest, and we just got a small apartment, and I was like, oh, we can't like fit the board or, you know, the playing field here, but... one game that I actually forgot I used to play a lot in college and in my graduate school was Catan. Settlers of Catan.
Yeah.
Man, if you want to test a relationship, start playing Settlers of Catan.
My daughter introduced us to Settlers of Catan, and I have always loved her before, and then maybe, you know, it's not always as good after the Settlers of Catan game. But we practiced a lot with Risk, where, you know, there are plenty of double crosses, and we can walk away as friends after that. But, you know, we go from there. Tell me about the best business advice you've ever received. Is there somebody who's given you that lesson that's like, hey, always or never or something?
Yeah. I would say my biggest business advice that I received was fail fast. So when it comes to that stuff, like, think, you know, being a type A person, there's a phrase that, you know, sometimes comes to mind, and this is probably for a lot of you listeners out there, is analysis or paralysis by analysis, right? So you can think of every different option and avenue, and at the end of the day, if you do that for months and you don't implement anything, you're never going to know what's going to work. So fail fast. And just for a lot of people out there, like, I think mindset is really important. So Alex Hormozi is kind of a hallmark person in the entrepreneur field right now. Mm-hmm. I read a quote from him the other day that was something along the lines of, he was telling a story about an individual who unfortunately passed away at 84 years old, and they wrote a maybe less than paragraph obituary. And his comment to that was, whatever you're worrying about right now, whatever struggles you have or successes you have, it probably doesn't matter that much, right? You know, and that was really powerful, because in the sense that, like, you know, for me, day to day is like, oh man, Jeff should be better by now, or it should have done this exercise or whatever. It shouldn't hold that much weight over you. And, you know, fail fast kind of parlays onto that is like, just make change, make positive, you know, improvements in people's lives. And that's kind of, you know, tied into business really closely.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. And you know, you also don't know if Jeff has been putting in the work at home, you know, to get better. So don't try not to beat yourself up over this. let's say you played collegiate football and you played other sports before that in high school. Did you have a coach or even a teacher who had advice that really stuck with you on the especially on that coaching side of things?
One that's maybe more comedic than anything else is one that has stuck with me. I just think, like, the people that I had as coaches through high school and college were people that invested in me. And I know that's usually the case, but sometimes that's not. And, you know, playing a collegiate sport and talking to other college athletes is like, a lot of people didn't love their coach. You know, they just, they went there for X, Y, or Z reason, but, you know, they really invested. And I played at a smaller school in Northeast Iowa. So a lot of that was like, you really got to know your coach, and they were truly doing it because, like, they wanted to invest in people. So, you know, those relationships, like, I still communicate with a lot of them on a regular basis. But the comedic, you know, coaching that I got was he said, you know, he might call you a name at practice because you messed something up or whatever. He said, I'm not calling you an asshole. I'm saying that the actions that you completed were of which an asshole would have done. And that has always stuck with me, because it's like, you know, especially in coaching, right? And this could be parlayed into business as well. You know, coaching is truly constructive criticism. So, you know, onto that mindset piece is like, you have to be open for change and all that stuff. And in the moment, you're like, that kind of stung a little bit. Like, I didn't do it on purpose. I just happened to make a mistake. But that's always one that comes to mind from a coaching perspective, because I was like, okay, cool. So I'm not the asshole.
That's right. You know? But my behavior was that which an asshole might have partaken. Yeah, outstanding. With that, I'm going to take you out of the lightning round. Well done, Alex.
Thank you.
You've succeeded through the lightning round, and I think we're all better for it.
I agree.
All right, Alex Beltran, the clinical director for the Crossroads at Fit Muscle and Joint Clinic. Thanks for being with us today.
Yeah, Jeff. Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Get into your business. And that is our show. Thanks to our guest, Alex Beltrame, and thank you for listening to the Small Business Miracles podcast. Remember to subscribe, leave us a 5-star rating and review, drop us a line on the website at eagadv.com if you have any thoughts. Until then, we'll be out here helping entrepreneurs with another Small Business Miracle.
Talk about strategies, talk about capabilities, building all your hopes and dreams, talk about possibilities, it ain't rocket surgery, but maybe it is. Come on down, we're gonna sit around and get into your business, get into your business. Get into your business.